You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Sixteen teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We'll get to Greg Cody's Back in My Day in a second. Roy and Greg Cody were having a conversation in the other room. Roy had a big smile on his face. Greg was laughing, but it seemed like a dark laughter, and he didn't seem as happy. We'll get to the contents of that story in a second. But Aaron Rodgers, Adam Schefter is reporting that Aaron Rodgers has turned down the largest contract in sports, or in that sport, for his position or any position. And he has turned it down, Adam Schefter is reporting. I don't have the details because they're just coming in, but he is not making this about money. He wants out of there, and he's telling you there is no amount of money.
He has 3 years left on his current contract. It was a two-year extension they offered him to make him the highest-paid player in the NFL, and he turned it down.
So he's serious about this. And Adam Schefter, I told you this the other day, he and Chris Collinsworth had a back and forth where they were arguing each side, and Collinsworth was arguing the Packers side, which is then retire. You're under contract. We're not trading you. We're not trading you, which seems dumb to just let his value expire without getting anything for it. When my guess is, what is Aaron Rodgers going to command right now? He's older, but he's the MVP of the league. This guy is not available. Like when Peyton Manning was available at the end, he wasn't the reigning MVP of the league.
What is dumb is the Packers have arrived in this place in the first place. That's really what's dumb in this entire
equation. But Schefter's
equation.
Response to Collinsworth when he was doing the hypothetical, then retire, was to say Aaron Rodgers needs to start slinging mud now. He needs to start making it messier. Does he? Does he have to do James Harden? Does he have to tarnish whatever his feelings or reputation is with those fans, Stugatz? Because he's been very careful about never saying anything bad about them. He's never done anything to tarnish his link to that community. He's feeling like he's being run out. They drafted his replacement, and he's making as much of a mess as he's willing to make in order to tell everybody, I do not want to play there anymore. I'm finished. So now what?
I wonder whose side the fans are on. I really do, because when they offer him what they offered him to make him the highest paid player ever, and he turns that down, I wonder if that changes the opinion of fans who think that the team has really screwed up in alienating Aaron Rodgers. I think it's a close call right now.
I think it does change how the fans are going to view him. Because, Dan, that contract takes him until he's 42. It makes him the highest paid player in the NFL. It's the Packers saying, hey, we're sorry. We want you to be our quarterback for the next 5 years. If you're still good at 42, we'll keep you probably. And he still doesn't want to show up. Like, I think the fans are going to start turning on him.
I'm unclear. Is that what you were saying, Greg? Because I thought that what you were saying is if that's the offer and he's turning it down, it must be really bad the way that he feels about everything that they've done inside the building. If there's no amount of money in America's most popular. Which are you saying, though? Which is the one you're saying?
Well, I think you can have both points of view. The point I was making is I don't know how Packers fans feel about Aaron Rodgers right now, who they blame in this chasm between the two sides.
I think that the fan is generally entitled. The fan is like Stugatz, and if you leave the fan will be mad period. Not comma, not anything. Not we loved you for a long time. Not thank you for the memories. Not you were great and you gave me a great joy across a decade and a half. It will be you, mother, how could you leave?
But it can be both. Greg is right. You asked us the fan reaction to this. I believe him turning this down will have some fans kind of turn against him. Obviously, he's upset with the organization. That goes without saying.
But do you think many fans, what do you think right now? If we polled Packer fans and asked them, how do you feel about Aaron Rodgers? He's going to take my feel good. And if he takes it, bleep him. Isn't that always the fan reaction? With very, maybe I can't make it that absolute, but you think perspective and compassion is what the emotional fan who is losing the MVP of the league and their beloved football, a city's identity, that they're going to be, oh, Aaron, it's all right.
I think when they drafted Jordan Love and Aaron was upset about it, yeah, I think they kind of sided with Aaron. But now you're saying, hey, 2 years, highest paid player
but
in the NFL, take it to 42.
No, but he's telling you.
I know what he's telling us. You're asking me, will the fans turn on him? And I believe they will, knowing this.
Will they be right to turn on him? Because
What else does Aaron want the Packers to? He wants them to fire the GM.
He wants respect, Stugatz. This is one of the rare instances.
But Dan, respect 5 years, 42, highest paid player in the league.
He's not making that synonymous with respect like that. This is the one instance you're finding in sports, the business of sports. You're finding the one instance when they say it's about respect. It's always about money, Stugatz. And this time he's telling you, nah, there ain't enough money in the world. You will respect me and the respect will be real. I'm leaving. You've already disrespected me so much that you can't print enough money to keep me here.
I understand that. But he's also saying it's not about Jordan Love. It has nothing to do with the selection of, which is it? Like, okay.
Stugatz, it's about all of it. He's been failed by the organization and he's done with it.
They made a mistake. You're asking about the fans. They made a mistake and they're saying, Aaron, we're sorry. Here's two more years and the highest paid player in the league.
Stugatz, not everyone measures with money the way you do.
I know, but you're asking me about the fans. And I believe the fans are going to see that and be like, Aaron, what are you doing? What else do you want? They made a mistake. They're trying to make up for it. What else do you want them to do?
To be fair, it's not just the quarterback. It's the refusal to give a team that was at the NFC Championship more offensive weapons for their existing quarterback. And it was also not consulting him on the head coach. They almost went out of their way to say, no, we didn't consult Aaron Rodgers on this hire, and they hired a really young coach who by last year's elimination game is showing you he's still kind of learning on the job here.
And that guy took the ball out of the MVP's hands and ended the MVP's season learning on the job. The relationship is broken.
The relationship with McCarthy was broken. Like, I listen, I understand why he's upset. You're asking me if the fans are going to be upset on the heels of this.
There's no break. There is no forgiving it would seem like. It's over is what, to me, what this says, Stugatz.
Mercedes Lewis says otherwise.
What this says, am I wrong in reading into this? Oh, he's not coming back there. Like, there will be no coming back. Not the first day of the season. Not the
first day of training camp.
Not the first day of anything. Yeah, like,
probably not.
Am I wrong?
To lose $22 million if he decides to sit out. I think he gets fined $50,000 somewhere in that neighborhood for every training camp day that he misses. And to be fair, this is I understand turning down what is being touted as the richest contract in that sports history. It's a headline grabber. It certainly draws your eyes, but you don't know what kind of outs were in that deal. If the team could have gotten out from under it, you don't know how sincere it was. And this is a guy in Aaron Rodgers that has shown that he's willing to mix it up a little bit by leaking stuff out. He took several private meetings with the organization in the days leading up to the NFL draft. And then as draft day came around, when he felt pretty good about what he was talking about in terms of being moved to a team like San Francisco, organization decides against it, and then he starts playing the leaking game. But can he go full like James Harden? Can he come out and say, because you're saying he's saying with his actions, can he come out and say in front of cameras, because he's always played it classy, whether it's at the match or at Tahoe, he's asked that question all the time. I'm sick of hearing him being asked a question, and he's always classy in how he deflects. Will he come out in front of cameras and say, I don't want to be here? Here are a list of the betrayals. It dates back to keeping McCarthy around for several years and how we blew that NFC Championship game in Seattle. It goes on and on and on. Here is every turn in which this organization
went down. What would you pay for that press conference?
I would love to hear it.
Anything.
But I think he's too classy to do it. So I think we're going to play the leaking game for a little bit.
But to your point about the Packers being dumb to not trade him, they are. I mean, it would be absurd. Teams would give up so much to get Aaron Rodgers right now if you're perceived to be one of those teams that's a quarterback away. And the Dolphins would give up so much, I think.
Almost every team is that quarterback away.
Mm-hmm. You're probably right.
Who benefits from that leak? Is that the Packers escalating things here?
The Packers absolutely benefit from saying, hey, we offered Aaron Rodgers, which is a read the room guys situation. You're only making that offer so you can look good in public eyes, because there's been one message consistently coming out of Aaron Rodgers' camp, and that's, I don't want to be here. So you think you're going to turn around and he's all of a sudden going to accept their contract no matter how much money it's worth? It's a principled stand.
But extending 2 years, you're right, Mike. Extending 2 years to your 42, highest paid player in the league, what? That is a splashy headline that gets fans upset. Hey, you're not going to take that, Aaron?
How does it actually fix matters right now?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
It just makes the Packers look
like
they're trying.
Off the wall. It's like trying to break up with somebody for several weeks and they show up at your house on a knee trying to propose to you immediately afterwards. It's crazy.
I do think, and I'm not positive, I have to check the numbers, if they keep Aaron Rodgers for this season, there is a much less significant amount of money they will save on the cap hit versus next season, where they will get at least like $20 million in cap space back. This season, I think they would just have like a $17 million dead cap. So it does behoove them to keep him in a season at least.
By the way, as we line up all of the reasons why Aaron Rodgers might be pissed off at the Packers, their last number one draft pick was a quarterback in 2008 with Jordy Nelson. They've basically gone his entire career without gifting him
a wide receiver, you mean?
Yeah, a wide receiver. What did I say?
You said quarterback, but
yeah,
this leads me
Devontae
into
Adams pretty
this,
good,
this leads me true, into but what it is that leads into the back in my day. Greg Cody is aging in a way that makes him have a little bit of dark humor, and he was saying, I don't want to tell this story for the audience. What is the conversation that I walked in on, Roy, where you had a giant smile on your face?
Yeah, Greg was asking me how I was explaining to Claire that she was going to be a big sister. So I just said, I kept telling Claire, hey, you're going to be a big sister. You're going to be a big sister. You're going to be a big sister. Now, this is juxtaposed to Greg having to explain to his granddaughter that his dog died. So there's loss there as opposed to an addition to our family.
So you were talking about life being joyous with a child as you try to explain that your daughter is about to welcome into the world a big sister. And Greg is trying to explain to his granddaughter what?
That the dog, Riley, who she knew very, very well, suddenly isn't there anymore. What happened to Riley? You hate to even use the word died with a three-year-old because it's not a concept they grasp. And so the next time she comes to my house, she says, where's Riley? And so it's just at the opposite extreme of life experiences with that particular age group.
That's but why were you laughing like that? Why were you laughing?
I was probably laughing at the Roy end of it, where he's trying to explain to Claire about being a big sister when I don't think she can, because of the age group, I don't think she can realize that that's a permanent thing. Wait, somebody's going to visit, a baby's going to visit me? No, she's going to be there forever, you know.
My dad does this thing with my daughter where he always has to talk to her like he's talking to a pet. Like he like has to like, you know, like, oh, hey, great. Like, it's like, I get it. Sometimes you want to talk that way, but it's like, you can just talk to her normal sometimes.
It's a grandfather thing though, right?
I don't talk to a 3.5-year-old the same way I do to my wife. I'm sorry. You know, what do you want me to do? That kind of thing.
A swig of coffee.
Time now for back in my day. You were so great, you earned that swig of coffee.
Why do you always act like a swig of coffee is like a triumphant
flourish? And now
flourish
it is time to take a trip down memory lane.
Yes, it is.
Here's your guy.
You're proud of yourself.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Every time.
That's true. You got that right.
How many cups of coffee have you had?
15. I'm flying like a kite. Dog food. Yes. Yes, I did do one other back in my day on this broad topic a couple of years ago.
Broad.
This is different. The situation has grown more grave. Speaking of dying, our collective obsession with extravagantly pampering our pets is now in hyperdrive. So I'm leafing through my Food Network magazine the other night. Great mag, by the way. And right after the piece telling me 50 different ways to do pigs in a blanket, I come across a short article with this headline: Beer and Ice Cream for the Dogs. Of course, it's accompanied by a photo of a dog with a shit-eating grin, because our canines are colossally photogenic, given that. I need to read this verbatim so you know I ain't lying. Quote, Busch Beer has released dog brew, and Ben & Jerry's now sells doggy desserts. The faux beer, the dog beer, involves no alcohol, of course. Too bad. Give me a feline high on catnip in a room with a drunk Fido, and that vid'll do 2 million on TikTok. Instead, the dog beer is pork bone broth. Ben & Jerry's doggy dessert. That's a sunflower butter-based frozen treat. I'm browsing the supermarket aisle the other day in search of other examples of companies pandering to pet owner fanaticism, and I come upon a chicken recipe with antioxidant-rich cranberries and another dog food geared to sensitive stomach and skin. Folks, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but left to his own devices, your dog will lap up whatever's in front of him, including his own vomit, and be none the worse for it. Yeah. Do you think dogs, when they're together speaking dog, bemoan the lack of beer and frozen treats from their diet? What they're saying is, I just smelled the neighbor's dog's ass today, and it was sublime. Dogs are the last animals on Earth that need pampering with high-priced foods made to make pet owners feel better about themselves. I wish the opposite marketing strategy existed. Love to see how it would go over. How about Busch Beer comes out with an Alpo-flavored brew for we humans? How about the latest Ben & Jerry's flavor is your neighbor's dog's ass? It's a matter of time before some company comes out with foie gras and caviar-flavored dog food. People, your mutt does not have a discerning palate. Fill his bowl with the usual mound of cheap, unidentifiable brown, crunchy stuff and let the big dog eat. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
Let me ask you guys a question, because this made
That's
me have.
When you should drink the coffee.
This made me have a thought. I have to do a celebrity roast with Jason Jackson, and
oh wow,
there have to be two roasters, and I have to select two roasters, and I couldn't figure out who to select, but Greg would be pretty good at that.
Oh,
would he
he'd
not?
Be great. Yes.
Would you like to do that, Greg? Put that cough on the board there, please. It was not a laughing cough. It was a normal cough. Can you make it to October 9th, Greg? Can you make it?
Can't promise that. That's a long time.
50-50?
Would you like to be a roaster? Because I've thought of Stugatz, too, but I don't think Stugatz will show up.
Where is it?
The Hard Rock.
Which one?
The one equidistant. Look, man, you went to the Coconut Creek Casino.
That's right by my house.
You're gonna keep calling. You're gonna keep asking questions and backing away so that you don't get roped into a Saturday night. Who should be the roasters? Is there anybody back there that wants to do it? I got a table for 10 that we've got to fill.
Wow.
I don't know how many of you even want to be at this thing.
Wait, it's you.
I'm going.
It's you and Jason Jackson.
It's not. It's a Jason Jackson celebrity roast. He does it every year. He's done it with a bunch of Heat players, and I've got to pick two roasters, and I don't know who to pick. I've been at a loss.
Hmm. That's a good question.
Yeah.
What about Gonzo?
Oh, he'd be terrible at it. He just wouldn't be any good. My father, public speaking. That could get us into so much trouble.
Are you trying
trouble
to pick a bad nomination?
Well, yeah, full
opposite. How many times
do we have to read those lines? Oh, gosh. I don't want Sugat to do it or Gonzo to do it. I don't have the strength to write these.
What kind of remuneration are we talking about?
The strength
about
to
here?
Go to it.
You don't have the strength to be funny?
Don Van Natta.
Yeah. I'm not going to be able to make it. That day is that's on my birthday, and I'm going to be up to some real prime boy shit that day.
16 teams. One trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Don Levitard.
If you see a photo of fries, do you reach for it, not unlike a pigeon flying into a sliding glass door?
I'm not kidding you. I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
You've done it to me.
Have you done that thing on like actual photographs where you try to zoom in on it with your fingers and you just make a big streak across it?
A bigger fry? Yes, I've licked my computer screen when it's on there. I love french fries.
Stugatz.
Who doesn't love french fries? I thought that was the one thing America could agree on. I thought that that was the one place where every citizen in our country would indeed be united across the 50 states.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Emmanuel Acho has a good agent, huh? Emmanuel Acho has ended up on Oprah's talk show and in commercials wearing slick mustard-colored suits.
Driving nice cars.
And he said this on Twitter, which I legitimately thought was a great joke, but he wasn't joking. He deleted the tweet. But I thought, man, he could have worded that differently, but that's a solid joke. But he was serious when he wrote, "Legalizing weed and track and field competition is all good if you're running a straight line. It's terribly dangerous if you throw the javelin. Where do you draw the line?" I thought it was an
hysterical.
It was an excellent joke, but he deleted the tweet and he was evidently serious. And how can you be serious with that? How can that be a
serious? Is he wrong?
Yes, he's wrong.
I mean, you get high and handle a javelin. I mean,
you wouldn't throw a javelin high, Dan.
Exactly. It's hard to do when you're sober. I mean, not that I've ever done it.
You don't think that that has the possibility of being sitcom material? A guy asking, where do you draw the line? Somebody smoking weed at the Olympics might throw the javelin into the crowd and impale someone, a concessionaire, in the neck.
Never know, dude.
You do know. Yeah. You do know that that's not what's going to happen if someone's high with a javelin and is Olympic trained at throwing the javelin.
Or he throws a shot put and goes straight up in the air and then falls around his head.
Can happen.
Right. Yeah.
People have been killed with a javelin at track and field meets.
Mm-hmm.
You could look that up.
Yep.
He since deleted the tweets.
I could, but I don't want to.
Apologized.
True.
And said he educated himself, and then Deadspin did a very lazy takeout on him, calling him the Black Will Kane.
Whoa, that's strong.
What? What?
They went from that. What? Why are they? Why?
Don't even get me started on like what Deadspin's become, because it's just embarrassing. They don't even try to write these well. I can't even see a byline half the time. I'm like, what algorithm made this garbage article and headline? It's sad to see what they become, and I didn't have the highest standards for what they were at the time, but it's just trafficking on the name and name only. But yeah, that's an attention grabber, huh? Black Will Kane.
Bill Kane.
I just would like to hear what the based on this tweet or something else.
No, he's got a history of like that show that he does with Marcellus gets held up a lot by white people because they get their own beliefs reinforced by intelligent black men in Marcellus's Wiley case, Ivy League educated. Emmanuel Acho, I believe, has graduate degrees and they're wonderful speakers, but they get accused of not taking the side of the athlete or their own people often. And so that's where that comes from.
2012, javelin accident kills German athletic official.
That's right.
That's what we're talking about, Dan.
I Googled killed by javelin. The examples are all over the place.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
So where do you draw the line?
I don't.
Maybe throwing a javelin is dangerous also, though.
Right, just
in
general.
It is, inherently. Yes.
Yep. I feel like there have been a lot more accidents sober than even under weed. Yeah.
Right.
I feel like javelins might be problematic.
Should we cancel javelins?
We should cancel the javelin. Yes, not the Olympics, just the javelin for weed. Let's not cancel the Olympics. We need to have those because the IOC overrules Japan on that one. We're gonna have to have you guys die. You understand? Right. We gotta throw. We got to throw with a shot put.
What's that Winter Olympic sport that they skate uphill kind of slowly on snow skis, and then they just get up atop a hill and they shoot something?
Oh, yeah.
And they put the gun
down.
What is
that called? What is that called?
Well, they just put it around their back and then they just keep moving on. Ridiculous.
What is that sport called? Somebody.
Curling?
I don't think it's curling.
It's not curling.
Oh.
Pentathlon has a combination of running and shooting. But I think that's different than what you're referring to.
Will there be Olympic events that we could go live on as we did on the space test?
That's dicey. I don't know. Do you have $200 billion we can pay for the Olympics?
Well, race? I don't want to do play-by-play on it because I think we could probably talk around the things that are happening. I think we're just going to watch things and be like, that's a sport? I think there will be some people who discover that, I can't name the sport, that climbing up the snowy hill, with, you know, not obviously this is a summer games, but if climbing up a snowy hill with a rifle is a sport, there, people are going to discover sports or Olympic sports during these Olympics.
It's the biathlon. It's the combination of country cross-country skiing and rifle shooting.
Odd combination.
Who needed those two things combined? And why did we need to find out who the best is at it?
There used to be a sport called javelin catching. Thank God the IOC did away with that one.
Yeah.
Mike, I think back in the day where, you know, there was a lot of snow, tundras, and, you know, covered, you know, large surface area. Mm-hmm. I think people used to
back
travel via skis. Yeah. And they would hunt with their rifles. And I think that's how it came. I'm serious. I'm being serious here.
Yeah.
That's how the biathlon came to be.
Jason Bourne would be great at that. Fictional character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan, you seem to be doubting me. The origins of biathlon.
Did climate change make the biathlon extinct then? Because it melted all the ice caps?
I think biathlon is still around. I'm sorry for this tangent. You were saying about Emmanuel Acho's agent.
Think anyone ever died via shot put?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. I don't think so.
Baker's dozen, at least.
The way Roy suggested it, though, where you just throw it up and it lands on yourself?
LA Times, June 23rd, 2005. Official dies after shot put accident.
Wow. It's always the officials.
I don't know what the accident was, but. Yeah.
Rest in peace.
What a way to
dark
go,
show huh? today, huh?
Yeah.
Javelin death, shot put death.
Blackwell Canes.
Escaped the space death.
SeaWorld vacation.
The saddest.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
Punctuate this segment with what is your strike three call?
Well, strike one would be strike, and then you stand up and you give a good point to the right.
Stugatz.
That's same for strike two. Okay. But strike three, you get down low. You got your hands behind the catcher. All right. The right arm goes up into the air. Yeah. And then you finish it with the punch. The right arm flings way up into the air. Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I could see that. It's terrible. Audio's great.
This is the Dan Lebatar Show with the Stugatz.
Jake Butt.
Wow. Jake Butt. Well done, Jessica. Well done.
Took a bow.
I found this Scarlet's robot. You guys want to look at it?
It is big. That's a big-ass robot.
The Heat used the same robot when they introduced the Vice jerseys.
He goes, see that smoke over there? He'll do it like right in your face. He'll come up behind you while you're just sitting at a table and just... Not that I would know. I heard.
No.
He'll do it right behind you. You're eating a nice steak. You're drinking some of their $12.99 Rumpelmans.
A shrimp cocktail.
Oh, Rumpelmans.
Oh, man. Their cheesesteak is fantastic.
He's almost Stugatz. I still don't know if it's true. Do you guys believe that Stugatz doused himself with gasoline, leaving the strip club to hide the scent of perfume and the... It's a lie, correct?
I've done it.
You've done it?
I did it.
I believe it.
I told you the next morning I did it.
No, to answer your question, I don't believe him because you have to approach everything you hear from that
it's
mouth.
It's all a lie. Right. When did you discover that? Like how soon in your relationship with him?
The gasoline? Oh.
No, just Mike, that Mike, you lie about everything. Yes.
I think it was the second contract. The second contract negotiation that the show was a part of after I had become a producer, that I realized everything he says is a lie. Thanks. And I believe you negotiated backwards.
The fuck took you so long?
Again?
I believe you started at a very high total and you ended up with something substantially less.
I did, yeah. Regret that. It's a tough negotiation.
How did that happen? I don't even remember. How did that happen? How did you manage... Do you remember the details? Because I don't remember the details.
I'm curious to remember them.
I remember because he was leveraging 560 WQAM. He knew some people there at the time. And he was on top of that still trying to do multiple shows and not have exclusivity. It was weird.
He gave away my non-compete, right?
Yeah. And then by then, everyone else had agreed and his leverage dissipated because he was seeking other leverage of his own. But the real leverage was you. And you had already agreed to terms. So by the time they had you locked up, they realized they could just turn back to Stugatz and give him a much lower deal. Stugatz, do I have this right?
Yeah, you really screwed me over, Dan. Told you to wait.
That might be the reason. I never understood why it is that ESPN would always strong arm me into signing first in a way that was...
Oh, once they had you first, they had me dead to rights. Are you kidding me?
I
got crushed, man. Okay,
can I tell you about the first week we were on ESPN radio? I produced a year and a half for ESPN, not as an ESPN employee. I was reporting to people that were my job, were my bosses in name only. I was getting paid by a totally different entity. Why? Because a couple hours before we went live on the first show, it's like, you're actually not going to be Disney employees. Yep. What? What?
But they'd always get you first. You're the big fish.
That's how they did it.
Yep, they would always get you first. Yeah. Then we had the fall in line. I mean,
you guys never figured that out?
Well, no, we did. I don't think Dan did until just now.
Not, I never actually abused that. I never threw it in my boss's
face. Oh, but no, there was a reason. You didn't abuse that, but there was a reason that kept coming back to me on Stugatz, and I didn't realize it until now why it is. It was the specifics of not giving him any leverage, because of course you can't. Because of course, you can't.
I just never abused the fact that I was getting direction from people that technically weren't my bosses because they weren't paying me. It could have been a real dicey situation for them, but they trusted me. It was a nice little relationship that we had because I could have said the F word on ESPN radio. They would have been on the hook and they would have had no punitive measure for me as I was not an actual employee of theirs.
Playing the long game, actually.
Mm-hmm. Look where we are now.
Yeah. Not at ESPN.
And I just had to argue with them over my Cobra insurance for 7 hours last week.
A Tampa crane operator named Paul Hodgkins got 8 months, Stugatz, for violently trying to overthrow the government. It is a felony offense.
Seems like a light penalty for trying to overthrow a government. I mean, 8 months.
Particularly, he was not one of the violent ones, but people died when that was happening. And I think most of us would react to that. I think the grand majority of people listening to this, no matter how divided we are, would agree that if I put in front of you violently overthrowing the government as a felonious charge, most of us would say, yeah, that probably deserves more than 8 months. However, the prosecutors were only asking for 18 months, and he was asking for house arrest and probation. So that was right in the middle. And I don't understand how that happens, but it must be outside my legal understanding why prosecutors would only ask for 18 months there. My guess is they have more information. Am I missing? Is there a hole in my knowledge here?
If white guys! White.
My ears hurt.
That's what's going on there.
No. No.
Tommy Chong retweeted that story with comments saying, I got 9 months for selling a bong.
You can find some funny things, I would imagine, that get more than an 8 month penalty than violently trying to overthrow your government.
What they asked for? What was the max?
18. It's not the max, but it's what prosecutors asked
for. No, I'm guessing that's what
for.
They thought they could get to 18, answer your question.
18 months. Yes, and yes. They settled it. The judgment was in the middle.
I did hear that explained, which was that the guy sentenced was not carrying a weapon, and that if somebody is prosecuted who is armed with a weapon or who has any tie to attacking a Capitol policeman, they're going to get serious time.
But there were deaths involved with an insurrection, and I just think most people hearing that would say that is not a crime that deserves a whole lot of compassion, understanding from the legal system or from anybody.
You guys seen like Arrested Development when George Sr. does some light treason? This guy just did some light insurrectioning. That's all. Just a little light insurrection. Didn't have a weapon, didn't kill anyone. Just a little light insurrection.
8 months. If I had told you back when that was happening, when you were watching it, if I had told you, I mean, we've already done the analogous stuff on if those were black bodies running up those stairs, they would have been stacked. They would have been corpses. If those were black bodies running up those stairs, the violence would have been perceived differently. But if I had told you as people are hanging from the walls of a sacred symbol for government, democracy, power, what do you think the penalty for that is going to be? And people are going to die. There are going to be people who die because of this. You think a whole lot of people would have answered this about 8 months?
I would have taken the over. Yeah.
I would have set the line at that. Yeah.
At 8?
Yeah. It's just, okay, this has been oddly political for me today, but I find it hugely embarrassing and insulting that a lot of the people that explain that away, rationalize it, try to just brush it under the rug, they're going to be running for president in the next cycle. It's just, they let an open revolt against the democracies they try to hold dear and hold over everybody's head when they try to overthrow the government in a totalitarian attempt to take the country back from a fair, democratically elected president.
And they're just looking at it like, oh, it's just criminal trespass. You know, yeah. Just go on your
way. It's the epitome of white privilege in this country. Because if they were minorities protesting, the armed presence that would have already been waiting there for them, ratcheting tensions up even further would have been mind-boggling. The fact that white people could talk about this openly for months, have a protest, have the president of the United States say, we're marching over there. Conveniently, he doesn't. And he watches sort of on the television, reportedly with glee. It was just, it's so insulting to me that anybody that supported that president can have an opinion on anything right now, because they have their opinions on Cuba, on vaccines. I hear a lot of them. And I'm like, you voted for that guy? Stop talking to me. Stop. It's not okay. I go out on a boat and I still can't escape this guy. It's a Confederate flag. It's treasonous. What are we doing?
It's an excellent question on the... Oh, another cough. Put that on the board
record
there.
Day,
what is the final tally here? That was obviously not a laughing cough.
You're acting like this is final. I mean...
This is where we are. We're finishing up the show.
And they're still ruining things. Largely unvaccinated. Now... on the verge of taking away liberties from people that are just trying to do the right thing and believe in science. We owe our entire livelihood right now to the existence of vaccines. But in 2021, they're a bad thing? When we were just shut into our homes for a year and a half in ways that we've never experienced? In ways that we would read about in history books saying, never us? I don't get it. And there's entire channels dedicated to appeasing these people. And someone goes viral? Because they merely say, I believe in a vaccine in the middle of a 3-hour block that is still pumping doubt into those very same vaccines. And we lift up the one example of somebody being fundamentally decent. I don't get it. You shouldn't have a seat at this table. This isn't a matter of free speech.
It's not that. It was an you led a charge in open defiance of that very free speech and those principles that we hold dear. And you get to be more American than me? You get to wave the flag on a boat? And I can't even get an American flag tattoo anymore because of what people might think of me because you've co-opted it? How? How are they more American?
Preach.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've been thinking about it a little bit.
The
last few months. Just may not be able to go to Mexico for my 10-year anniversary just because God knows what kind of variant was born in the Westchester Flanagans because you couldn't wait to get out of your homes and breathe all over me.
Those rib rolls, though.
The Rockin'. So many are
nachos. The nachos. The nachos. God almighty.
Happy Tumbleweed Tuesday, everybody. Yeah. You should just say that right now.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.